The Sour Hour is meant for the serious brewer. The Sour Hour may contain some seriously funkified content. The Sour Hour is not for the faint of heart. So exercise some damn discretion, would you please? Sheesh. And now, here's the Sour Hour with Jay Goodwin.
All right. Can you hear me?
I can hear me. You?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear you?
Got some technical things we're dealing with pre-show. Pretty standard for the BN. But it's that time. It's the Sour Hour on the Brewing Network. I'm your host, Jay, at the Brewing Network Studios in downtown Concord, here with Bevo. Bevo's in the house. Hey, Bevo.
Hi, Bev.
And Scott's here, too.
Hey.
Bevo's on the move to get it. Give me that the Instagram angles. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Where I look hot.
Make him look good.
Yeah, that's the best filter right there. Just a Kleenex right in front of the
lens. Yeah, it's a napkin in front of the lens.
The only way it's going to work for me, let's be real. Happy Beer Week, you guys.
Oh, happy SF Beer Week.
It's San Francisco Beer Week here in the Bay Area. Having a great time. Lots of events. You know, behind the curtain, it's very exhausting crazy.
But, no, you guys just party, right? You're professional partiers, is that it?
I mean, yes.
I mean, kind
of. Yeah, a lot of work, and it's exhausting, but a lot of fun. And another great thing is that we have a lot of great friends and great brewers come into town, which includes our guest today, Andrew Schwartz from Modern Times is on
Heck
the show.
Yeah, excited.
And in the studio. So they're out at the Brewing Network Studios green room right now.
Just getting a little lubed up.
Getting loose. Yeah, so we're going to keep it tight off the top.
Yes, we are. We're not too tight, though. We have a very important beer to talk about.
We're going to keep it loose and tight at the same time.
Hmm.
Yeah, think about it.
Do the math.
Is that like firm?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
But also
nail it.
Super yeah. Pudgy and loose.
Actually, you know what? So Bevo, I feel like, you know, you've been around Bevo, but like we
the
have...
block? What? Where are you going with that?
Wow, you really took that leap.
And I did.
That's
sorry.
Not where I was going.
I'm in a silly mood today.
That's excellent.
Silly
I would love to bring back more information today with
more
Beverly
information.
Moore. Yeah. Are you down?
I'm down.
So,
full disclosure, my information comes directly from Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay.
So, unless we can beat it, maybe the first one is best word for both loose and tight at the same time.
All I'm right, going.
Well, you have
and now,
like three seconds.
More information with me, Beverly Moore.
I miss it.
Yeah, I do
it's
miss
like
it.
My it's actually my favorite part of the show.
It's so. The best part of the show.
I haven't been here for a couple shows, have I?
No, you have not.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, again, so you've been around, but it's like you, sorry. You've been reasonably present.
Just stop.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just move on. You can join us in the chat. Send us feedback during the week. Scott at thebrewingnetwork.com. Jay at thebrewingnetwork.com. Watch us. Thebrewingnetwork.com/TV. No more phones because, you know, it's 2019. Landlines are dead. If we do want a phone call, how would we take it?
Hmm.
We're thinking like Skype.
Yeah, Skype.
So sometimes our guests are not in studio and we talk to them on Skype. So there might be some technical issue. So we're not making any promises, but I think maybe that's what we can do.
Brewing Network, all one word, Brewing Network.
On Skype, if you want to call in.
It's kind of a throwback. I mean, Beav, there were Skype calls.
She's not listening. I don't think.
No, I'm sorry.
That's
I'm making more information.
She's perfect. I was just saying the Skype thing is a throwback. We took Skype calls 10 years ago on
yeah.
the show, and then it went to the landlines mm-hmm. for a long time, and then now we're sort of back full circle.
I think it only went to the landlines so that they could have, like, they could ruin my life and make me have to filter through them.
It was fun to watch it,
it
you know?
So painful.
Spinning plates back there. It was great.
Wait, we're not going to screen it.
Yeah, no, we'll just take them live, dude. I screen these things in post anyway, believe
yeah.
me.
Well, that's a good point. So feedback, listen live, Brewing Network app, search BN Mobile, subscribe, please. That really helps us out, as well as leaving feedback on Apple Podcast or Spotify or wherever you do that kind of thing. With that, review of the week.
Da-na-na-na-na-na. This review comes from Fermata Brewing. Sweet Nectar for the Ears, it's titled. After years of listening to almost every brewing podcast out there, like The Session, which must get their name from being weak and pale, the Sour Hour takes the cake. Not only does Jay provide knowledgeable and thorough experience to help you with your own sour program, Jay, Scott, with three T's, and sometimes Bevo, always provide a hilarious and funny platform that anybody can enjoy. I will always recommend to any brewer, sour or clean, to listen to the Sour Hour. Keep up the great work, guys. Song recommendation, New Noise by Refused. Expect some beers soon from Paul at Fermata Brewing.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you for the review, Paul. We appreciate it a lot. And let's check out his suggestion, New Noise by Refused.
Sounds like the beginning of Bangarang by Skrillex. That sounds just like Bangarang, which means I love it.
Oh, yeah. It's hard rocking.
And now.
There's no such thing as a perfect.
Live from the Brewing Network studios in Concord, this is The Session.
Yes. It's a slow build, and it's definitely good for the session.
Right. It's good. I like it.
I want to hear Bangarang by Skrillex.
Now,
I want to see how
now
close
we got
this
it
is.
Going. It's a good day when we play Bangarang.
Okay, yeah, I already hear it.
So now you got to play this out until Bangarang. I said it would be tight at the top.
Cool, max headroom there. Wow, it is a full dance party up in here. Wow.
I hate it, and I love it.
Kind of like it's fat and thin.
That's
or
correct. That's the exact way to feel about it.
All righty.
Wow, I am jacked up now. So sour beer fermented it. All right. All right, deep breath. All right, last show. We had a Night Shift Brewing, great guys, great beers. That was awesome. One thing I want to mention is we're going to have we're going to have some beer kind of getting out of the state this year.
Colorado, you mentioned.
Colorado. Check it out. We're going to, you know, out-of-state festivals every once in a while, so we'll send out, like, a little bit of beer with that. So if you see us on the list, the festival near you, check out your local retailers and ask them if they're going to get any Rare Barrel. And, you know, but we're not sending that much beer, so I think the good places will get them. So be sure to ask them if they're going to grab any Rare Barrel on these shipments. And be a great chance for people outside of California to try the beer.
You are willing to be reached out to by bottle shops. Can we get your stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I think mostly...
It's not all already allocated. I think that's what people would probably imagine is the case.
Right. I think... It's mostly like the distributor decides, but if they want to reach out by bottle shop people, jay@thebrewingnetwork.com, let me know. I'll forward all of those to our sales and marketing director so he can actually make that happen. And the other new news, do you see what I did there?
I did.
Is today, as a matter of fact, we are releasing our very first beer in cans.
Whoa.
That's right, cans.
Whoa. Oh my god.
We're doing a sour IPA. It's called new. As I told Scott before, I was like, oh yeah, we can talk about this, but I feel bad. It's like, it's a very small run. It's at the tasting room only, and if it goes well, you know, we'll maybe do a few more batches, and that would be great because we're really proud of this beer. In fact, so proud, the best feedback maybe I've ever gotten is that Bevo decided that, number one, she would taste it, and then number two, after she did, she got a glass and then poured more for
and
herself.
And I finished it.
Get I, it? More?
Yeah.
For herself.
Oh.
Yeah. See what I did there, Bevo?
Stop it.
It's the first time I've seen Bevo ask for something acidic in probably 6 years.
It's incredible.
It's been a long, long time.
My body hates me, so I can have nice things.
I felt the need to clarify. She was like, oh, can I get a little hit of that? And I was like, oh, it's acidic.
Just
she's
so you know.
Like, yeah, I know.
She's like, yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't even know what to think.
Yeah.
It was actually very good. There's that word again, actually.
Actually,
I don't mean, like, I wasn't expecting it not to be good. I was expecting it not to be the best for me.
Right.
Yeah. I'm on condescension patrol at least this time. No, but that's how we feel. Like, you know, it's been almost like a year in the making. You know, I got to give all credit to our talented staff at the Rare Barrel for not only pushing this, but executing it. And it's something we're really excited about. And it's happening, like, later today. So I'm, like, in full nervous mode, which I don't really get nervous that often, but I'm like,
it's a
new
frontier for you.
Yeah
it makes sense. I mean, we got some in our glasses right now. It's really, really well executed. I think one of the reasons we've liked it, besides from being a terrific beer, is that the acidity is pretty, it's firm. I mean, it's there. It's obviously a sour IPA, but it is balanced and not over, I don't know. It's just, the flavors have really melded together wonderfully.
I want to drink a can, you know, or two.
Sure.
I'm not, you know, in the business of throwing shade. There's just like some sour cans out there where it's like, you just need to share them, right?
Yes.
And they can be great. But this is like, I want to drink the can. Like,
from
by
the can.
Myself.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So
it's really well done. I'm excited for you guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Now, does this mean that you and Alex are going to cut a Sully and Nico-esque commercial?
Yeah, we'll come in.
Nico, listen, our lawyers say...
Hey, Alex, listen.
Hey, Alex, listen, our lawyers say we only have to do this one more time for the rest of the year. All right, let's pump it out.
And how come you have more lines?
I'm supposed to have more lines. I'm the professional.
I'm supposed to. I'm Jay.
Okay. Hey, it's Jay.
Hey, it's
and
Jay.
I'm Alex.
From the 21st Smiley Song, right, Jerry Barrel.
And,
that's right.
Canning.
Oh, wait, too soon.
Giants Park. To make great
Giants Park, now Oracle Park.
That's right, because to us, the 21st Amendment is more than just the right to make beer. It's the right to experiment, to be innovative, and just do things differently. And so now, we're putting our craft beer in cans.
That's right,
that's right, cans.
Cans from the Rare Barrel.
Shout out to Sully.
That's right, cans.
Amazing.
Great guy.
It's really well done, dude.
Thank you. Let's get to a break. Get our
just
guests
about
in here.
Nothing? I don't know, a question or something? No, all right. We can do a break.
Want to thank a sponsor, maybe. WineandHop.com, locally owned and operated for over 40 years. That's a long time. Haven't read that before. Most items ship within 24 hours, and BN listeners get $8 flat shipping rate on orders under 25 pounds. Enter BN shipping in the notes field of the shopping cart. Discount's going to be taken off after checkout. And Madison, Wisconsin residents, order your homebrew supplies online at wineandhop.com and pick them up at Working Draft Beer Company, located on Wilson Street, right across from Central Park. We'll waive the shipping and give you half off your first beer. It's a good deal. Wineandhop.com.
It puts the lotion on its Madison. I might cut that one out. Okay, let's take a break.
Wow. That was just, you know, sometimes you swing and miss, and that was like 10 of those times.
You won't hear
all
any of
one.
This on the podcast.
Shout out to the live listeners.
If only I had this this godlike ability on Stones, where I could just
right?
say, I'm perfect, you know?
All right. 3, 2, 1. Ha, good one, Scott. All right, wait. 3, 2, 1. All right. Let's get our guests in here. After a quick break, you will be right back on the Sour Hour. Scott made a bad joke.
Brewing great beer is a process of continuous learning, and the best books on every aspect of brewing can be found at Brewers Publications, with more than 50 awesome titles like Modern Homebrew Recipes by Gordon Strong, Designing Great Beers, The Ultimate Guide to Brewing Classic Beer Styles by Ray Daniels, American Sour Beers, Innovative Techniques for Mixed Fermentations by Michael Tonsmeyer, For the Love of Hops, The Practical Guide to Aroma, Bitterness, and the Culture of Hops by Stan Hieronymus, and Radical Brewing, Recipes, Tales, and World-Altering Meditations in a Glass by Randy Mosher, plus many, many more. These are the books and the authors with the knowledge to push your brewing farther than you thought possible. And you'll find them all at fine homebrew and book retailers everywhere. And visit the website at brewerspublications.com. Brewers Publications, all the best on beer and brewing.
The wild thing. Hey, this is Jeremy from Brewery to Roo. You're listening to the Sour Hour on the Brewing Network.
Funny you should mention Jeremy.
Yeah, it's almost like I knew you guys just did something or something.
Jeremy was in town hanging out. We did a little blend collab. It's good times. We were also drinking cider at a local bar with tonight's guest.
Oh,
Andrew
yeah.
Schwartz from Modern Times. How's it going, buddy?
What's up?
Nice to meet you guys, or see you guys. Sorry.
Yeah, that was not awkward at all. Good job. You're off to a great start.
I'm totally, totally comfortable.
I'll cut it out in post, dude. Don't worry. Yeah.
3, 2, 1. No, don't want to do that again.
We're going to do like a call-in from Jeremy, right? Like expert call-in?
Hopefully he's...
Like what does the sour Jesus say?
Yeah, hopefully he's listening to the beginning of the show where we eliminated the phone number to call in and said... Send people to Skype. But.
Brewing Network, all one word on Skype.
Yeah. The pre-taped call-in show.
Yeah.
Is that
Hi,
how
Jeremy.
Is that how he's known in the sour beer world? Is he just like he's...
His Instagram
he's
handle?
Sour Jesus. Is it really?
Yeah. Obviously self-appointed, so we won't... Yeah, that's whatever. It's his brand, hashtag branding, and now it's going to blow up. Craig from Modern Times is also in the building. Hey, Craig.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having us.
Well, let's get both of your official titles. I mean, I know what you guys do, but...
I just want to say, Craig has an incredible radio voice.
Yeah,
I'd actually been working on that. I've been preparing for that all morning, so that was my peak.
Hi.
And I'm going to back up now.
You were right.
I was going to tell you to stop talking. No, what do you guys do for Modern Times?
My official title is the Commissioner of Flavor at Modern Times.
Nice.
Which means just kind of running the special project side of Modern Times. I work with a big team of people, incredibly talented team, and it's working with that team and working with a lot of the barrel age stuff specifically.
Nice. I love how clever we're getting with the job titles. What's printed on a business card. Mm-hmm. Every time I think that we've exhausted all options, Commissioner of Flavor.
It's pretty good.
It's a good one.
If you can't have fun with your title, then you know that's we should enjoy our entire job working for a brewery. And that's just where it starts. When I look at that business card, I get really happy.
Bam. We'll hit a dopamine every time you look at it.
Speaking of that,
my official title is I'm a sales wizard. So we have a lot of wizards at our brewery, and I kind of help oversee our presence in kind of the greater Bay Area, East Bay, South Bay, along with Santa Cruz, kind of all over Northern California.
And the beer's so good, it sells itself.
Well,
but also
yeah,
they
know,
need Craig.
I help push it along. Yeah, definitely the beer, you know, it speaks volumes.
Yeah.
The first 100 barrels sell themselves, you know.
Yeah.
The rest is a grind.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, the reason you guys are up here is, I mean, number one for this, obviously. But number two for SF Beer Week. How's that been going for you guys so far?
SF Beer Week is great. I mean, that's why we have Craig. He gets to do all the work. Mm-hmm. I get to hang out and talk to Jay in Moscow.
Tough gig.
Yeah.
I know Andrew's here. I know he's like just doing collaborations and like, you know, out drinking all the entire time. And then finally hits me up. Okay, I need a ride. I'm like, all right, chauffeur on his way.
Yeah, and we did one with a cellar maker at their House of Pizza, which mm-hmm. was incredible. And then
with Aaron, formerly of the Rare Barrel.
Oh, right. Yep. Aaron's great. And, and we also did one with Mike from Temescal.
Never heard of
Temescal.
Him.
Oh, you ever?
No. Where did he used to work? I don't know.
Now he's working in a restaurant.
I think they found him on the streets.
That's a deep cut, Moscow.
And they had the Women in Beer conference recently. And then SF Beer Week is it's inspiring. It's so cool. It's such a great community up here. It's really nice to be up here. And then Almanac today, brewed with them and a few other brewers. And then
very cool.
And then just hanging out with you guys.
Awesome.
Sweet.
Sounds like a pretty good time. And thanks for making us a part of that visit. Tell the listeners who maybe don't know as much about Modern Times as we do in California, or maybe some of the markets that you guys are in, what's Modern Times all about? And then specifically, you know, the special project program, and then double specifically, obviously, the sour side of things.
Okay.
Triple question.
So about the whole hour... I'll take it. So Modern Times, and we've been on the session one time before. Great session. Thanks for talking about that. So is that that's a podcast you know about?
Did you know about this, Scott?
Is it about poker?
Does that work? Modern Times, it's our sixth year. This year we're going to have our sixth year anniversary. We're based in San Diego, and we started life as a small brewery there and have just grown every year. In 2017, we became an employee-owned company. So we're 30% of the company is owned by the employees. And that's a really big deal for how we how the company runs, and also just, you know, in general, what Modern Times is all about. And we distribute in California, Washington, Oregon, Arizona, a little bit outside of that. And then if you see our beer somewhere, like for example, I'm from New York, so my parents were like, "Oh, we saw your beer in Syracuse." And I was like, what? So occasionally we'll send a little bit of beer out to different states for little events and stuff like that. But, you know, we're a production brewery making a good amount of beer. You're seeing it on the shelves and in stores, convenience stores, supermarkets in California for sure. That's the production side of things. The special project side is just as big. So we, Modern Times since the beginning has always been about kind of like the accessibility of really good beer. So we wanted to make sure that you're able to get like stuff that we're really excited about in a store, you know, at Trader Joe's or at Costco or something like that.
Mm-hmm. But you might need to name one more retailer to be
legally
legal.
Whole Foods.
There you go. Sorry. I was looking out for you guys.
Yeah. Whole Foods. Exactly. Jim's Mini Mart, Tornado. No. So we're all about that. And then, the sales side of things. But then also we're just as excited about the kind of the limited stuff, but trying to make that accessible. So we have this kind of club, the League of Partygoers and Elegant People. And
speaking of names, that's God loves.
The names, so good.
And they are kind of an Illuminati-inspired beer group, known for their secret ways.
Who you're talking about.
Oh, the Illuminati? No. Yeah. It's, you know, the Denver airport?
We don't have, no.
Don't
get
okay.
into that.
Also, not.
I do know what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yes, we do.
We also can't talk about that on air. Yeah. Okay,
there's going to be a lot of things we can't talk about here. We're going to cut out like half the show.
So, anyway, so we focus on the special projects with our little club there. A good number of members now, but we do tastings with them every month. Show off the beers that we're going to have for sale. Do a lot of barrel aging, stouts, sours. We just got some fooders that I'll talk about later, and then IPAs as well. So we're doing monthly releases of IPAs that are available in our tasting rooms, and we have a few of those now. And then we have a bunch of barrel aged stuff that we're releasing as well. So it's a fun little project that we have.
That's awesome. Scott, did you hear the pro tease there about the fooders?
I certainly did.
Yeah, just like, I'm in the middle of talking about this. We got fooders, which I'll talk about later.
Oh,
moving on to the next thing.
Foreshadowing.
That was well done.
So you have to stay till the end of the, then maybe this part two of the podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's when we're going to really talk about the Illuminati.
Yeah.
Get into conspiracies, you know.
Or just the truth.
Or the truth.
Yeah, let's talk decide. About something I read online. I mean,
how could it be wrong?
That could definitely be its own podcast. I read this online. Speaking of teases and reading things online, in the next segment, we are going to get an update from Bevo for
more
information. She has her headphones off. She's vigorously Wikipediaing stuff right now. And now she's going to put her headphones on, and I'm going to stop talking about her. So you talked about your sour wild program. Now we have a beer open in mm-hmm. front of us, which is, I have to say, gorgeous.
It's wonderful.
This is great. This is called Celestial City. And tell us about this.
So Celestial City, this one is a batch we released in December of 2017. Even before that, I think it was about a year before when we brewed that beer and then fermented, packaged, and then released in December 2017. But this is
2 years old total.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this beer is 100% stainless, a malt bill with wheat, oats, spelt, and then fermented with our house cultures. So something that we've been kind of moving towards is fermenting some of our saisons with distinct house cultures. So we have a few different ones. We have one that's a more of a saison. We call it like our saison culture. And then we also have a grisette culture, which our differentiation is just ABV and then kind of the percentage of wheat and rye and things like that. But this is a great beer. We absolutely love this beer. It's one of our favorites from the special projects team, the barrel team. It's drinkable. I think it's about 7%, 6.5%, something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a great showcase of our culture that we have running. So I wanted to show it to you guys because it's kind of one of these beers that sticks around. We have it. It doesn't fly off the shelves or anything like that, but it kind of goes along with like, We're obsessed with lagers right now. Like, we brew lagers constantly. We're brewing ice regularly, which is our Pilsner. And then we also do Baltic Porters, and we do, like, Italian-style pills and stuff like that. And we're just releasing these things in cans and having them in the tasting room.
Which are great. I've had all those. They're awesome.
Yeah, thanks. Really appreciate that. And it's like, and recently I was at the tasting room, and I'm like, you know, I want something that's, like, kind of lager-like, but maybe a little different. And I think Saison has always hit that spot for me, and I didn't really realize it until we've started to have so many more lagers. So it's kind of like just a little bit more acidic, a little bit more flavorful, a little bit more aromatic than a traditional pils. So.
Well, it's awesome. I'm going to spend the first part of this comment just chastising people in general. You're bad. You're bad at what you decide to drink. These mixed culture beers that have so much flavor like this are what you should want. They're complex. They're actually like pretty accessible and available. I think people chase a lot of fruit bombs, and I'm going to get hate tweeted on this probably, but like this beer's better than that. Like this is good. So that's the first part of my statement.
I'm going to give you some hate in person. I love me a fruit bomb, Goodwin.
Sure, that's fine. But this
Rear Barrel never does fruit bombs.
Never.
fruit bombs.
It's hard.
Hop bombs.
I completely understand that. And it's like something. I mean, we're going to try some. Hopefully, we're going to try some really fruity beers here. And I think that there's a place for them. And I think that also what we're trying to do is make it so that people that are excited that are listening to the Sour Hour have an opportunity to like talk about these beers with us. Like,
absolutely.
We have our tastings every month that we do. We try and make these things accessible. We do a few other things in the tasting rooms. And then it's just all about connecting with people that are excited about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We also open every recipe up. Like if anyone has any information or wants to know anything about any of our beers, hit us up and we'll email back and forth and work on recipes with people and just try and, you know, there's a curiosity here that you have to have. And I think that's a big thing that people miss.
So that's great. I mean, so Andrew, you make great beer. It's awesome that you're here talking with us and you're opening yourself up to, you know, share your recipes. My question is, what is your phone number? I stole that straight out of Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, yeah, yes.
He started an episode and he asked that to Natalie Portman.
Uh-huh.
It's like, so Natalie, like you're obviously a super talented actress. You're a graduate of Harvard University.
You have a PhD.
And, you know, you're gorgeous. You're wonderful. You're charitable. My first question, what is your phone number?
And what are you doing on Friday night?
It's always unclear, too, if Natalie has been briefed or she even knows where she's sitting. They're always, like, confused. Like, I was not... My publicist did not tell me what this was.
Yeah. Wasn't the Obama one on
that
there?
Was, yeah, that one was great. Hillary was on there.
Hashtag awkwardness. Yeah.
So... Yes. If you do want to contact someone personally, StephenMichael@ModernTimesBeer.com would be the person that you're looking for.
His phone number is out online, I think.
And he's the lead coordinator. And he's waiting for your calls. He's online.
Same Skype.
We have league coordinators online waiting for your calls. That's what we call it. So it's like the league is like the membership club, and they're an incredible group of people that are... You know, based in San Diego, Portland.
Hi, I'm Steven from San Diego, California. Exactly. How may I assist you?
And in all honesty, actually, I mean, we get our beer kind of like we talked about earlier. They're all different levels. So we try to make, obviously, quality comes first, but we want to make sure we have beers that people can drink. You know, we have our special projects through the league and these really small batch experimental beers that you really don't see every day. Mm-hmm. But then we have really, really amazing style beers of all different styles available. Kind of that we want people to drinking.
Are you trying to make a sale here?
No, but I'm already sold. Where I'm going with this is we want to listen to all feedback and be able to kind of provide answers to all questions. And if you email just info@moderntimesbeer.com, that sounds really generic, but I can guarantee that we try to get back to every single email we receive. Mm-hmm. A lot of them get forwarded on to me if you have specific questions about the Bay Area.
Yeah.
We'll be as honest and straightforward in our answers as we can. Hell, I think my phone number is on the response to those emails. So so it is out there.
Yeah. And I should be clear about my point from earlier. You know, I'm trying to say something about, you know, the fruit bombs versus the more nuanced beers. Mm-hmm. And it's less about like poo-pooing the fruit bombs, which are great, right? Scott, you mentioned you love them. I love them too.
Yeah.
I have noticed that sometimes the beers that don't have the overwhelming character of the ingredient get overlooked on the shelves. And if you're interested in getting into sour beer, which you're listening to 95 episodes of the Sour Hour to get to this one, I
presumably
assume you are.
Have you got into it yet? I've listened to everyone. I haven't had one yet.
If you're at that point, you've got... Yeah, you just want to fall asleep.
Just waiting for
boring information.
Well, to your point, Jay. I mean, I know exactly what you're saying.
Thank you. You're the only one.
Everyone's drinking hazy IPAs now. This should be right up the alley of anybody who enjoys a hazy IPA. It's really just an acidic version of that. It's got all the orange, juicy, citrusy, all of the delightful aspects of those styles of beers.
Mm-hmm.
This has all that.
You're right. About that.
And I don't think it's wrong to want the fruited stuff. It's just that there's other flavors that are really nice And I think something that we've been looking at, especially with this one has a fair bit of hop flavor in it that you don't necessarily notice mm-hmm. from all the other things that are going on. So there's actually Cascade in here and then some aged hops. And that contributes a good amount of the flavor,
yep.
which is actually really nice. And I understand that people like hop flavors. It's an American yeah. thing. We make Americans grow amazing hops. We use a lot of hops. And I think that this beer can like play into that as well. And sour beer can.
Yeah, for sure.
And speaking of, you know, the fruit kind of flavors that people are going for, the amount of complexity and fruit flavor in this beer is actually astounding considering there Absolutely. Was no fruit added. Yeah. I mean, it's you might as well, you'd think that there's like three or four different fruits present 100%. When you drink it.
And I would think that, wow, how did you preserve this for over 2 years, the hypothetical fruit flavor? So one thing I wanted to actually key on kind of technique-wise was you said that this is a stainless-only beer.
Yeah.
And there's a remarkable amount of complexity in here. Yeah, Kevin, take this away.
Yeah. Share it with everybody.
With the green room.
Yeah, the green room crowd.
Yeah. remarkable amount of complexity, really good stuff. What's your percentage of, and this is more of like a program question. I know you guys do, you know, things in the quick sour category. I wouldn't put this in the quick sour category, but it's kind of like stainless mixed culture ferment and then kind of barrel aged ferment. What's the like rough breakdown off the top of your head, Andrew, of what you guys produce there?
It's been changing. You know, the last couple of years, like you've been saying about clean sours versus fruited sours, we definitely do more fruited sour. Mm-hmm. And in the last 2 years, our program has changed quite a bit. So when Modern Times first started, you know, actually we worked with like Mike Tonsmere, the mad fermentationist, and like did some sour stuff that was all barrel aged. We didn't have fermentation space for non barrel aged sours. Recently, in the last 2 years, we got stainless fermentation space for sour and funky beer. And it's changed a lot. And one of the biggest things that we do, and we'll try it with a few of the beers in the future here, is kind of like the coupage thing where you're doing a blend of barrel aged and new, you know, fresh sour. Mm-hmm. And that's been a revelation, because you kind of get acidity, you get, some oak character, you get intense Brett character, but the fresh, like hoppy characters that I'm talking about, the fresh Brett and Saison character that you get is just, it's incredible also. And just blending those two together has made something really nice.
You mind if I pause there for a quick second?
Yeah.
So the young beer that you're talking about young sour beer. So is that?
Yeah.
Kettle, or is it just young beer that's clean that you blend in the barrel aged beer with?
I wouldn't say sour beer so much. We still do make some stuff that's destined for extended souring, but we're really focusing on like young mixed culture for beer. You know, so less
like an
sour
early version
and more
of the beer we just had.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, and then as it ages, it picks up acidity.
Yeah.
You know, and we're not trying to go for like overly sour things as much anymore. We certainly have those beers. We have some like News from Nowhere, which is like a Flanders Red style thing. Empty Hats, which is an Oud Bruin kind of inspired beer, which were absolutely sour. And we still have those in barrels, but we're also trying to do stuff that is, you know, acidity is more balanced.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, in terms of like the quick sour versus this, these are two different programs. So almost everything that is quick sour or kettle soured is done, you know, that's a tool that we use to get acidity. And it's done on the clean side. It's boiled. We brew it. Then we add fruit on the clean side. And then it's packaged on our canning line.
Gotcha.
Everything that's in the mixed culture side of things is in a separate warehouse. Fermented, funky, you know, mixed culture. And then aged in a barrel, packaged on a separate line and everything like that.
Yeah.
We'd love to do cans of mixed culture stuff. It's really cool that you guys are doing cans of sour IPA. I love that. Right now it's just like 750s and 375s.
That's
and 1.5s, yeah. You know, magnums.
Oh, yeah. Go for it. And so, yeah, just to be clear, that was the, you know, my question was, do you ever incorporate the clean boiled off sour beer? No, that's still separate. You guys do that, but you're doing young mixed culture beer, which is not sour at that point. Maybe it'll never be sour.
Yeah.
And then with the older one, which is yielding good results.
Well, maybe you could talk a little bit like Astrid Cowboy. I don't know. Oh.
I got it. So
wait, hold on. I think actually it's a good time for a break.
Oh, okay. Sure.
So let's tease that out. That was a hilarious exchange. If you're watching live, I hope you saw that. That was good.
If you're watching live, is there a video?
There is a video. That's
Oh,
it.
Oh my God.
Oh wow.
You know who I should have.
Sorry, you look great.
Pinky my nose or anything? Yeah.
You know who I think might be watching live, Jay, is this guy Pearl Carlson who
Per.
Yeah, he sent this in. He emailed this. This is Per with you.
That's me.
Yeah, and he
is that Copenhagen?
You tell me.
I'm definitely skinnier.
Yeah, this
and
is
it
younger.
Looks
Jay.
Like the well, it was, no, it was actually a few days ago.
Whoa!
It looks like the hall that the Copenhagen beer celebration is in.
Well, I mean, look, you want to read his comment?
On par, yeah.
On par with working at Canteon for a week. Whoa! High
taking
praise.
A selfie with me. It's going to increase my selfie taking for sure.
You got to do selfies. People love them.
Oh, yeah. I love them too. If someone wants to take a selfie with me, that's like.
Wait, we're not on.
First off, why? Yeah. Second.
Are we on air?
Yeah, now we're still on air.
Oh, we're still talking about selfies?
Yeah. Oh,
selfie hour.
Jay is known for going up to people at Beer Fest and being like, hey, want to take a selfie with me?
Hey, you want to take a selfie with
me? Quota, we haven't reached it yet.
Yeah. Scott, I think what we should do right now is a teaser question. We also teased another beer. So you know how bad I am at remembering our teases.
Yes, you're terrible.
I'd like you to find the question.
Okay.
You guys remember the beer. And I'll talk about Sour Beer Block, this upcoming question. And all questions are brought to you by Dr. Lambic and his team at sourbeerblog.com. Check out the articles on Sour Beer Blog for a great written resource devoted to teaching you how to brew and blend sour beer at home. And now, the Sour Beer Blog crew, you like
and
that?
And now.
Is opening up a new brewery. In fact, it's already open in Tap Room in central Pennsylvania. Check them out, Mellow Mink Brewing at mellowmink.com.
This question comes from me. I want to know, it does, because, you know, we mentioned that you guys did the session, and it was about a year ago, exactly a year ago, it was February of last year, so I am wondering what the single biggest change is at Modern Times in between then and now, 1 year, I just think about you, Jay, and, you know, on the day of your first ever can release, big things can happen, and you never know when, so I want to know, you know, what's been going on at Modern Times in the last year. The
great tease, Scott.
Thanks,
buddy.
We'll
tackle that, and another beer. Right after the break, you're listening to the Sour Hour on the Brewing Network.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters. This is Jamel Zanishev, and I want to tell you about Heretic Evil Twin. You might be familiar with my homebrew recipe, which uses massive late hopping to create a balance between the malty sweet and the hoppy bitter, along with an outrageous malt and hop character. I wanted a beer with the same bold hop and malt character, so we played around with the homebrew recipe until we were able to make a great commercial version too. We've created a beer rich in malt character, full of caramel, toast, biscuit, and an ever so subtle roast note. On top of that, we piled in an insane amount of Citra and Columbus hops at the end of the boil, as well as in dry hopping. This damn-the-cost approach to hopping gives Heretic's Evil Twin a great blast of citrus and tropical fruit that can't be matched by any other hop. The result is a bold, malty, hoppy, but easy-drinking beer. This is our top seller, our flagship beer, and I couldn't be prouder of it. Cheers.
To find Heretic beers near you, click on Find Some at hereticbrewing.com.
Singing there? No, it was so close to Ronnie James.
Yeah, no, I could tell.
Oh, you could tell.
Very clearly.
Oh, okay. You look different, Bebo.
I can see now.
Clark Kent in the building. We're back to Sour Hour.
Nowadays, it's cool to wear glasses.
Yeah, definitely.
Even like the big weird, you know, creeper guy 80s frames are coming
back. Yeah, those
back
are really cool.
I hate those.
They're better.
I mean,
back,
but they're
baby.
Cool right now.
Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah.
I'm too old for them.
Back with Modern Times. I want to thank a couple of our great sponsors. Oregon Fruit. Oregon Fruit products, aseptic purees, easy to use and convenient to store. No additives or artificial flavors. It's simply great expression of the raw fruit. They love working with brewers to help us innovate. Check them out, fruitforbrewing.com. Oregon Fruit, they bring fruit to life. Also, listen to the other BN shows. We already talked about Brewing Strong.
You sound like Jean Vanois trying to say Brewing Network.
Brewing the Sour. I shouldn't even imitate him. Brew Strong, Dr. Homebrew, Brewing with Style, Heads and Tails. Shine Runner and Trace Cerveza Sauce, Hop and Brew School, and the...
Brewing what?
That was classic.
We love you, Sean. Back with the guys from Modern Times. So we grabbed another beer, and it's going to be a great continuation. But also, Scott, while you're pouring that, maybe do you want me to pour it? Because I'm going to ask you to do something else.
Sure.
To find the question.
Go for it. Oh, I remember it, because I asked it.
That we teased. Can you just look it up on email?
Just look it up in the Gmail. Yeah, yeah, let me search for it. Yeah, I was wondering what the biggest change was, or addition or whatever, in the year since you were last on the Brewing Network on the session.
The biggest change in the last year, I think, would be the opening of our tasting rooms and our LA and Portland breweries. But, you know, the most exciting change is our new fooders that we haven't filled yet.
Whoa.
Yeah,
whoa.
So excited about. Paying off the tease.
There's not much that I can talk about with them yet, except for we plan to do some lagers first, then some mixed culture stuff as well. But they're Fooder Crafters fooders, mm-hmm. 230s, 260s of heavy and medium toast.
Nice.
They just arrived, yesterday, right?
It was last week. It was last week.
Okay.
Tuesday. Nice.
Very recently.
It was this Tuesday. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I feel like it was just a couple days ago.
No, yeah, yeah.
Beer week last. Wow, beer week. 3 weeks. It's a very long week.
I know more about his brewery than he does.
Yes.
Scott, what would you like your title to be?
Public relations ninja.
You're in charge of PR.
Yeah, me. I'm not saying
my first choice. Okay, moving on. So we do have another beer in front of us. This is Analog.
Yeah, it's called Analog. So this beer was something that was very experimental, and there's a lot to talk about here, mainly the amphora. So this beer takes place in our amphora, which, if you don't know, and I didn't know, of course, it's a clay vessel, like terracotta clay vessel, and we have two of these. So we have about 4-barrel one and a 7-8-barrel one, and we got them from Italy. They're really unique, and they're usually used for wine. So we just said, you know, let's see what happens with beer.
And which shape is this one? Because I know, I've seen some rectangle things that are clay, or like oval, like egg concrete things. What shape is this?
Yeah, so like the concretes usually tend to be rectangular or like an egg shape. And I haven't seen too many amphora, but generally they're in the shape of a vase, you know, like a vase shape kind of thing. And there's usually two types. So there's the Italian one, and then there's kind of the Georgian one. So the Italian ones are thicker walled. It's clay inside and out. There's no liner on the inside, and they're quite a bit thicker. They can stand on their own and sit in like in a winery or a brewery. The Georgian ones, not the state, but the country, they are usually stored underground in the earth, actually. Mm-hmm. And they're thin-walled, wax-lined. And those are they're quite a bit different in terms of like what you're trying to get out of the wine from that. So in this one, we're actually, the beer the entire time is touching the clay vessel. And for us, it was like a really interesting experiment. One of the most experimental things we've done, and we've done quite a few things, is just like put 4 barrels of beer into a clay vessel, you're like, you have no clue what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And we've heard really bad things about concrete eggs and stuff like that, where people just get like weird minerality and the pH rises in a very weird way. So we were really nervous about it. The first beer we did, we put it in there and we were tasting it. We're like, okay, this is, we called it blood saison because it just tasted like it had, you know, like heme in it. It had like iron, you know, like flavors in it. And it was minerally, it was kind of metallic. It tasted weird. We actually pulled that one out of clay, put it into stainless, and every day it was just getting better and better. And we're like, okay, this might be worth something. So I swear I wanted to dump it. And Jacob, the owner, was like, no, he knows, he's very involved in the beer and he's like trying everything. He's like, let's keep it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And we kept it in that stainless for a while. And as it got better, eventually, like about a week and a half later, like probably the minerality actually dropped out of the beer, and it just tasted awesome. So that was Prometheus effect. That was the first one. So we actually blended that with barrel aged saison, so barrel aged and non barrel aged again, and a portion of that was aged in the amphora, and it just came out really, really cool. This great minerality, awesome acidity. You get a ton of Brett funk from that, from the gas exchange that's happening in that amphora. And this is a continuation of that. This is called Analog. It was first saison that was fermented in stainless and then blended with Riesling must. We blended Riesling must from just north of us, north of LA, from Lo-Fi Wines. I don't know if you've ever had anything from Lo-Fi, but they make great funky natural wines. Not all funky, but great natural wines. They sent down must, and they also sent down pomace. The Riesling pomace. So that's like the skins and the stems and everything like that. So we kind of did like a whole cluster rest on the beer and the must and the skins, left it on the fermentation in stainless, and then we racked it over to the amphora. After it was sat there for, I think, 2 months, we pulled it out, packaged it, and bottle conditioned it for about 7 months, mm-hmm. which is something that has become really important for us, the bottle conditioning phase. We find that things are about 80% there, and then we bottle condition them, and they get to like where we're happy with.
Yeah.
So Celestial City was a big example of that, where it took like a number of months before we were happy with it. And the bottle conditioning is just like the carbonation, but also just like the maturation of the micro blend that we're using, or the bug blend that we're using. So this one was like almost 50% Riesling must, and then aged amphora. Yeah.
Is the clay permeable?
It's like semi-permeable. It's like gas permeable. You know, so it's like you're not like it's not like seeping out.
Yeah. Oh, well, of course not. Yeah. Yeah. But there is some input of some gases.
Absolutely. And the wax ones are thinner, but I think they're less permeable.
Sure. Yeah, just so. That extra layer of. Yeah. Makes sense.
What do you think about this flavor, Scott?
Well, you know, when I first tasted it, if you'll pardon the turn of the phrase, the trademark phrase, it struck me as goozy for a second. I was like, oh, interesting. But then as you describe it, it makes perfect sense. That minerality that was once there, that's still there, but it's so pleasant. You know, it has left behind a lot of complexity. It doesn't have that gooze bite. I always say charcoal. I don't know.
Diesel.
Yeah. But it does. I mean, it just has a lot of beautiful complexity and a lot of stuff that is not really replicable outside of these types of interesting, complex processes. I don't know how else to describe it. It's just complex and wonderful.
Yeah. This beer is super cool. If I just would have had it on its own. And in fact, I did while we were talking about some other nonsense that you were asking about, Scott.
Call it.
I was like, you know, always my first reaction is just like, you know, good or bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, real good. I like this. And then I tried to dive in a little deeper and like definitely get the minerality.
Yep.
It's very fruity. I wouldn't peg it for that high of a concentration of wine character, mm-hmm. but I think it's just because it's so well integrated. And then as I, you know, as you were talking, Andrea, is like learning more and more about this beer. It's just like, wow, everything you're saying. And, you know, we talk to plenty of brewers and they're telling us the process. And of course, there's always going to be a factor of power of suggestion, right? But usually I just like, you know, I taste what I taste kind of, but your description really like unlocked a lot of the nuances that I was trying. And I should just also say as a side note, you're one of the best prepared guests we've ever had on the Sour Hour.
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah.
And it's really like keying
into terrified.
My...
I'm just terrified. That's why.
Well, you're doing great.
Yes.
Also, we have more beer here, so yes, that helps a lot. Yeah, that's a wonderful beer. I would love to have that like in my cellar and have like, you know, well, 4 or 6 bottles and open them over the course of, you know, every 6 months or something like that. I think that'd be really fun.
Can I ask one quick clarifying question? You said you pulled it directly out of the amphora. What was it called?
Amphora.
Amphora. Did the bottle conditioning take care? Because I thought you said it was kind of too irony straight out of the vessel.
That was actually, so that's a really great question. So that's actually the first one we did, which was a different beer, when we put that straight beer in there, we found that it was too irony.
So not everything that's coming out of there is that way.
Not everything is coming out that way, but we're finding that some are and some aren't. And depending on the acidity and like the and different things, it changes what you're pulling from the amphora.
I think it's like the acid interacting with the clay somehow.
Yeah, like it's definitely that. We've been messing around with a few things to like kind of also when we have wine must in there, we see a lot less of that.
Interesting.
That minerality. I mean, we still get minerality, but less of the iron character, which is like, you know, good and bad. You want to balance. I mean, actually, the thing about this beer that I think like what led us in the right direction actually was I was with Jeremy. We were brewing a little beer with Jeremy from the brewery.
Jesus.
Sour Jesus. Sour Jesus. Not the beer Jesus.
That wasn't a blasphemer.
Beer Jesus, that's different. He's just like...
He's the blasphemer.
Okay.
I thought something happened. He's like, Jesus, we're down. Yeah,
it's now an explicit episode.
Yeah.
So I was with Jeremy, and we were trying...
Fuck yeah, it is.
We went to a really cool wine store in San Diego called Vina Carta. We were hanging out there.
Now you got to mention 2 other wine stores.
Well, they're not an account,
actually.
We don't
sell them. Oh,
yeah. They don't sell that
our beer. Anyway, so, damn it, I'm thinking about that.
Sorry.
So anyway, I was hanging out with him, and we had this really cool natural wine that was aged in amphora, similarly, and it was minerally, and I didn't really get it. I didn't get why that was a pleasant thing, like, but the body on that, it was completely dry, but the body was rich. It was like this had this great mouthfeel. And then I understood that we can make a completely dry beer, an acidic beer, but that minerality will balance it and make it something different. And this is such a cool beer. And we're doing another version of this, but we did it. I don't know how familiar you guys are with some of the natural wine techniques, but that's where we've been kind of like searching for new processes and stuff. So the new version of Analog, or at least one of the batches we'll release, is kind of the orange wine version. So we did the same Riesling.
Hot right now.
Yeah, it's so hot. But the skin contact, which is a great term. Like, we need more terms like that in beer. But we have, like, skin.
Very sexy.
That very sexy. She's shaking her head vociferously.
She's nodding her head. Gross. Skin contact.
Skin contact is, I look for skin contact regularly, you know? And it's like, anywhere
I can. Really taking a turn.
Yeah. And, You'll just see it, like, let's say, skin contact whites, you know, and, I look for skin contact regularly.
I Bevo'd.
There, you have your promo.
Yeah, there's,
real quick. Bevo earlier was like, what did I say? I was like, you've been here.
I've been around.
I was like, you've been around. Like, meaning the listeners haven't heard her on the show, but she's been around. And then she took that as like, Bevo's been around.
Well, the block for drill.
Just like Bevo, skin contact whites have been around for a long time. And especially in Georgia, where they use Clerva, which is kind of a clay vessel that's similar to our amphoras. But aged in the ground. Sorry, just trying to keep you guys on track.
Yes, thank you very much.
And what we do...
the internet is forever.
I look for skin contact regularly. Oh, my God.
The show's done. They got what they
need. One's going to know. I mean, you guys see what you're doing here. You just have this clip, and you just play like I'm saying it.
Oh, we definitely see what we're doing.
they can edit like your intro at the beginning, and then just like cut to that.
Yes, yeah. So true.
Definitely put it in.
Go on.
We can edit that out too.
Point is, they have some orange wines, which orange wines are whites that are aged on their skins. So usually you don't do that, right, when you're making a white wine. Like a California Chardonnay is, and this is a good segue to the next beer, if you want to.
Oh, yeah. What is it?
We got to do the show break.
Orphic Fragments.
One more? No.
One more. Pop it in.
No.
Please, okay. Jay.
Well, let me finish this conversation. So,
yes, please.
And then we'll do the show break.
Yeah, and then show break.
Okay, you're in charge.
So usually... Okay, usually in whites, they just like won't use the skins, you know, or whatever, press it off. But in some Georgian orange wines, they'll leave the skins in the
state,
Clerva.
Country, not state.
I'm sure they do it in the state now that
Georgia.
Now that Creature Comforts is there.
They have a lot of orange wine. That's why I asked. That was actually a legit question. Like, there's a lot of orange wine in Georgia.
Is there?
State of Georgia, yeah.
That's just because Blake's ordering it all. We did another batch. This is ridiculous. No one even is going to be able to follow even what I'm talking about.
Don't worry.
You're keeping it on the tracks.
We keep the Riesling must and the pomace, which is the whole cluster, the skins and the stems, on the beer for about 3 or 4 months that we did for this new batch of Analog, which I'm really excited about. So it's a little bit different color, funky kind of apricot aromas, and it's just a really fun, it's one of the most experimental but fun things that we've done that has created something that I've never had before in beer.
That's great, and I'm now going to prove that I was listening to what you're saying by things I wanted to say. So, Scott, first off, great question about, you know, the batch one versus batch two, and now we're on to batch three. It's a little up and down. We're talking about pH levels of extraction, I think. You know, sometimes alcohol and bitterness can somehow play into like vessel flavor extraction, which is like a whole other topic we can get into. But this seems so similar to, you know, you guys talked about the new fooders, and it's like, okay, it's like a mix of oaks, and you start with a lager. I assume that's, you know, probably a little shorter contact time. You extract a lot more, get it out of there. Then you put like a medium term beer in, get that same kind of extraction. Then you put a long term beer in. And it's like you phase it in. It's just so interesting that like clay is the same way. And also, great point about when you ferment something to dryness, minerality can be a great balancer. You know, it's almost like when people got tired of too much sweetness in IPAs.
When did that happen?
Well, now it's back. Sorry. It's like, dry, wet, like early West Coast, maybe you can call them East Coast IPAs, like a little more sweetness. West Coast dries it out. Very bitter. And then I think that spurred on the low bitterness revolution. And then once there was low bitterness, it's like, okay, let's get some sweeter stuff into there. But this whole progression of, like, I think especially brewers want something that's dry, but something else to balance it out. Like, it doesn't have to be sweetness, and it shouldn't be, almost. It's some manipulation of the ingredients, or in this case, the vessel, that really replaces that, which is, like, a super cool avenue to go down.
Absolutely. I think that's a really great point, and especially
it's actually a great point.
Actually, just make
play
a good
that,
point.
Play that back.
play that one back.
No, it's very, and it's, like, what makes incredible beers. You know, like, it's, like, when you have a dry Saison, but it has this nice balanced acidity. Maybe it's water profile. We brew a Pilsner in Portland, that water, or in the Bay Area. You guys have great water here too. But you can have a really incredibly dry beer, but have that kind of balanced sweetness from the water almost. But it's like, if it's sharp and dry, it can be a little off-putting. In stouts too, it's the same way. So we do a lot of stouts that have been finishing higher and higher to get kind of rich, fudgy character from them. Mm-hmm. The roast bitterness plays against that. And it's important to have that, to have, like, a balance there.
Yeah.
And that's, like, truly what balance is.
Right. If you're finishing at, like, 3 Play-Doh and you have a lot of roast, a lot of coffee, you know, that dark malt thing, you can do as much water, maybe, like, you can just water as much as you want, or put it in flora. You know, it's not going to matter. You got to finish high with sweetness. You got to, you know, pull up and down on the levers and kind of hit that sweet spot and make a great beer. And I think vessel is a really cool topic when it comes to especially mixed culture beer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's take a show break, Scott. I know you don't want to.
I don't. I need to ask one last thing about this beer before we take a show break. Forgive me. I just forgive
me. Curiosity.
Please.
I also have some more reads to do.
Okay, we'll do that, and then I'll ask.
Transition. Neshaminy Creek Brewing, 3-time Philly Beer Scene Magazine Brewer of the Year, 2-time JBF Vienna Style Lager Medal winner, 2-time Smoke Lager Medal winner, once predicted by me, renovated tasting room with a variety of beer styles, hoppy double IPAs, sessionable poundable lagers, oak fermented saisons and sour beers, free brewery tours on Saturdays, new, not so new, second location opening many years ago, Neshaminy Creek Brewing.
I look for skin contact regularly.
Yeah, Andrew, please, we know. Okay. I wanted to ask this question about the grapes, because you got all that other stuff mixed in there, you know, the stems and the seeds. Was it stress stems? Seeds?
No stems, no sticks, no seeds.
Whole cluster.
No one?
We got it.
Okay.
Okay. No one. Moving on.
Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, we get it.
Okay, sorry.
SoCal.
Wow.
Tough crowd.
It's everything.
So the question is, you didn't split anything off and try with just the grapes. Like, the whole batch was treated with the whole mix, right?
Yeah. The difference is that with this batch that we have here, it was only on there during fermentation. So it was like 5 days or
something.
Okay,
short time.
But the new batch that we have, a version of that is extended skin contact, which is even better than skin contact. And then the other half of it is no skin contact.
How does this notion strike you guys? You know, okay, I have my barrel program.
We need a show break, Scott.
Stick with me. Forgive me. By the time I'm done cutting it all up in post, we're going to be right on time, okay?
Well, that's not the issue.
Yeah.
How important are show breaks for sour beer?
They're important for Jay's schedule when he has a big can release. Maybe, you know what, we'll tease it. We'll tease it.
That's all I'm asking for.
I'm going to ask a question that you might be able to apply to your whole barrel program when it comes to how you add fruit to
beer.
Boom.
Oh, that was wonderful.
Wrap it up. All right. Thank you, Scott.
Oh, wait, one more thing. No.
What's the point of the show?
Thanks. Flip that out, too.
I take back about
thanks to Scott.
You being a good guest. Forget
thanks
it.
Thanks to Bevo. Thanks to Modern Times for being here. Hey, it's fine. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Yeah, we're on.
Yeah, we're on, dude.
Thanks to all the listeners. Until next time, stay sour.
I look for skin contact regularly.